Blog Talk Radio.
If you believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, walk across the water, the water. You feel defeated, falling on your knees and looking up for some hope tonight. You try to stand up, but you throw your hands up, like you no longer have the strength to fight. Cause you've seen too many sunsets, too many days ending in the darkest night. But on your own, you'll never know, you'll never know. If you believe you can move the highest mountain, cross the greatest ocean, walk across the water, the water. Believe you can move the highest mountain, cross the greatest ocean, walk across the water. If you believe. They say that all you need, but it's almost like you lost your way. Took a few wrong turns, took a few breaks, falling behind now looking for grace. Cause you need someone to lift you up, yeah, make right of the things you've done. Cause on your own you'll never know, you'll never know. If you believe you can move the highest mountain,
gentlemen. Welcome to Ask Sophia right here on G Radio in the vibrant city that never sleeps, New York. I am absolutely delighted to be your host. My name is Sophia Giorgio, and tonight let's unlock some wisdom one question at a time. Now, I am putting it out there straight away. I don't want you to hesitate to reach out and join into the conversation. Your questions are what fuel the heartbeat of this show, okay? So I really can't wait to hear from you all on the subject matter that we're going to be discussing today, which is going to be mental health and well-being. So like I said, this is not just about me or my special guest, which I'm going to introduce to you now. So basically, we are, like I just said, going to be talking about mental health and well-being. And tonight, you are all in for absolute treat. Get ready to be inspired and motivated by a true powerhouse in the fitness and well-being industry. And I have to be honest with you, I have to be very straight and tell you, he is my nephew, and I cannot be more proud to say that. His name is Pavlos Sava, and he's renowned in the fitness and well-being area. He is a coach who has dedicated the last 14 years of his life into transforming the lives of thousands of individuals with his extensive knowledge. And he deals with holistic approaches, and Pav has become an absolute beacon of light for those seeking to achieve their health and well-being goals. His transformative techniques and his programs that he's done have empowered countless individuals, and I've seen the results that he has made, you know, to make lasting major changes, both physically but also mentally, to these people. So let me introduce you, please, to Pavlos Savos. Pavlos, are you there?
I am here. Thank you for having me on, Sophie. And I'm very excited to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you, Pav. I am delighted that you agreed to come and do the show because I couldn't ask for a better person to be able to enlighten us on the subject of mental health and well-being. But before
and I'm
we
very
do
grateful.
That, Pav, oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you. If you can give us a little bit of a brief outline for all the listeners out there, and we're going to have listeners from all over the world listening in tonight. So just give us a little bit of a roundup about yourself, if that's okay, so people know a little bit more about you, first and foremost.
Yes, so I'm an online physique coach. I help people become better, both physically and mentally. I've been doing this for the last 14 years. I started out as a personal trainer. I then transitioned into more of an online role just so I can reach out to more people around the world. And I still do PT. I still do one-to-one as well. But mostly I work with people online. I, you know, influence a positive mindset. I help people change their physiques, their mindsets, mm-hmm. and, you know, just generally be better.
Yeah, well, I can actually say, you know, from personal experience and meeting some of the people that you have trained and seeing some of the amazing work that you've done with people, and literally you've transformed them from, you know, oh my God, from being totally different people completely, losing weight and mentally being in such a different place. But mental health has been a major issue, as we've discussed it. How many times have we discussed it, you know, as families
lot,
and,
yeah.
and together?
Yep.
You know, the pandemic has really caused, you know, I thought, you know, had caused a major, you know, issue for a problem, not an issue, actually. It's a problem.
Yes,
for,
massively.
You know, people worldwide. So I know that you transitioned a lot into the online aspect of things through the COVID period. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that side of things?
To be honest, I was doing online a long time before, but I never made it a priority. Okay. Now, when COVID happened, we kind of had to move into online. And, you know, it was a tough time. You know, gyms closed in the UK. Yeah, so people's mental health back then was, yeah. I don't think it was right to close gyms at the time. I don't believe so. I think the gym, you know, training was helping people get through it. So, yeah, I moved into online coaching, and I was therefore able to help more people around the world then. You know, at the start, it was more home workouts. I was creating home workouts. I was still giving diet plans. I was doing weekly check-ins with people. You know, COVID happened, and that's the past now, and it's all about the future, right? And we
Absolutely.
Keep going.
Well, I know, Pat, that you have a huge following. It's amazing. I know you have a great following on Instagram and Facebook and all of the other social media, and, you know, people from all over the world. I know you have clients in the States, obviously. You have clients in the States, but you've got them all over the world, which is really impressive. And, you know, do you want to give us a little bit of an idea of what you've done for them, in essence of, you know, the type of,
yes.
You know, the type of work that you've done with these people?
Yes, so I work with, honestly, everyone, different training backgrounds, different, obviously, you know, countries, different age groups. You can be a very busy professional. You can be an at-home, you know, mom, for example. And, you know, once someone signs up with me, they fill out a questionnaire. I get the information on them. I then go and create their initial setup, training, nutrition program. We do weekly check-ins to monitor the client, give them feedback, you know, make adjustments when needed. And every client has my, you know, client-only number where they can contact me. And that mm-hmm. that there keeps them accountable. And, you know, I like to change people's lives. I do this because I enjoy it. I love what I do. And
you do a phenomenal job. I watch you on Facebook, and when you do your lives, and you know, you're such an inspiration. I really, and I urge you, everybody out there, I urge you to follow Pav, you know, on Instagram, on Facebook. Pavlos Savas, please. I urge you to, you know, make sure that you can follow him, because he is, he's fantastic at what he does, and he can certainly help. So we're going to talk, but just to let you know, callers, my producer is having some audio problems. So when you call, just be patient with him, please. You will get through. But he's having a few audio problems, but he's just messaged me to let me know that that is the case. So please just be patient.
Going back to what we were talking.
Yeah.
The music before we started was really good, by the way. So big up to the radio station.
That's mine, Pav. I choose.
Is that you?
That.
Oh, wow.
That's mine.
I enjoyed it.
If you believe. Well, you know me, Pav. You know me about belief and manifestation, and you know what I believe. And if whatever you put out into this universe is what you get back. So if you don't believe that you can change your mental cycle, or you can change your physique, or you can do anything, then it's never going to happen. So, yeah, for me, you know your Auntie Sophie. You know what she's like. So, but anyway, it's
let's
all
do this.
Good. Absolutely. But then again, maybe I should give a little bit of credit to my producer as well. But hey ho. Anyway, moving on very quickly. Pav, so let's get on to the seriousness. I know this is a very serious topic, so I don't want to make light of it, but at the same time, I think we need to have a bit of laughter, because I think laughter is the elixir of life, and I think we've stopped laughing for a very long time at one point, you know, especially through COVID and everything that was going on, the amount of stress that everybody was under, you know, the amount of worry that everybody had. I think everybody sort of, you know, their mental state, including me, by the way, can I actually, you know, and I'm probably one to actually put my hand up and actually say, and as your host here on this show, you know, the last 3 years have probably been some of the most difficult. I'm not going to go into the ins and outs, but however, you know, the last 3 years of my life have probably been the worst, if I'm honest with you, with certain things and things going on. But again, it's your mental state. It's how you perceive and what you do and how you move forward, and how you handle that is what makes, in my opinion, you know, makes a big difference, Pav. And I think you probably will agree with me on that. But one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Pav, very clearly, and sort of see what your thoughts are on it. You know, a lot of people are scared to speak about mental health because they think there's a bit of a stigma about it. But how do you think that we can actually create a culture of open conversation around mental health, and break that stigma that's associated with it? What do you think we should be doing?
Well, I think what you just mentioned there was the key word, you know, speaking out. I don't think men especially, you know, don't speak out as much as women. I think a lot of men can be perceive themselves as this macho, tough guy, you know, don't want to show their emotions off, and, you know, they hold it in. And I literally think just by speaking out, I just think it's a subject where it's such a sad subject, because I think if only people were just confident enough to speak out and not hold it in and not think that it's bad not to speak out. I think speaking out, and that's the message we need to get across, you can speak out. There's people there to help you. That's the main thing. You said it in the question. You said speaking out. And that's what I was wanted to say clearly to you.
Yeah, I think one of the things. Can I give you a statistic that I looked up today, and I actually was completely and utterly gobsmacked when I realised this. But when it comes to mental health, and one of the big areas that, you know, we talk about and has been a major issue is suicide. Okay, suicide is a big, has been a big thing. Now, I don't know whether you're aware or the listeners are aware, but I think I've mentioned it on many occasions previously. I support a charity here. They're a national charity in the UK. However, they do work internationally too. They work. Their counsellors work. And it's a mental health. It's a charity called Kaleidoscope. Mental health. Yeah, they're fantastic. And one of the things that I found out today, that suicide, when you look at men and women, 42% of women, when they try or think about committing suicide, only 42% of women will actually do that, okay, will actually follow it through. Do you know how many men? Have any idea? I mean, listeners, I was absolutely, completely, utterly gobsmacked. How many men follow through when they decide that they are going to commit potentially suicide, that they actually follow through? And this sort of balances. I found out today it is actually 95% of men decide to commit suicide follow through. Mind-blowing.
And the thing is,
that is shocking.
And the thing is, some of these people, you wouldn't even know. You know, if we look at, like, I know it's a celebrity, but we look at Robin Williams, you know, he was the happiest guy around. You know, he was helping the homeless. He was always smiling. And no one knew. And then, you know, he's one of the
most popular
people.
You look at Caroline
people
in the UK.
Yes, UK, yeah.
Caroline Flack as well, Pav, in the
we
UK.
Know Caroline
she was
Flack,
a presenter.
She had a lot of stick, though, on Sophie. She had a lot of stick in the UK. You know, these reality TV shows, you know, it's we could talk about this all day, couldn't we? It's not nice.
I think from our perspective, Pav, and I think you deal with, you know, people on a daily basis. So, I mean, with obviously fitness and everything else that goes with it, mental health is a big thing, I think, when it comes to fitness
I've
as well, you know. And
I've
had
a lot of clients come to me with mental health issues. I do believe, you know, once someone starts looking after themselves a bit more, a lot of the people who I've dealt with in the past will come to me in a very unhealthy state, both physically, mentally. They're not eating the right foods. They're not. They might be drinking a lot of alcohol. They might be smoking. And then gradually, over time, it's not going to happen overnight. But if we're consistent with changing our habits, you know, prioritizing ourselves, you know, to become better, you know, I've seen a lot of people come out of it the other end, and you know, they've won. They've won the battle, and their lives got better and better. And better.
Well, this is where we, again, Pav, when we go back to it, if you look at a lot of the, I know, again, this is another shocking thing, but a lot of comedians, you know, that, you know, are on stage, you know, they put a different persona on. But what people don't realise is that, you know, they have, you know, have mental health. You know, a lot of them suffer with mental health issues, and I think everybody, like I said, I think everybody on this planet, and I don't care who you are, I think everybody on this planet has to deal with some sort of mental stress at one point in their lives. Whether you are going through difficulty at work, whether you're going through difficulty with a relationship, a marriage, or, you know, with children, or, you know, depression, or all of these things, they're classed as mental health. And I think if we don't look after ourselves in the best way that we possibly can, it's just going to get worse. And I think it's an area that we really do need to sort of, you know, focus on. Like I said, like you said, and it's very clear, you know, you can't tell. I'm gonna give you an example. I have been to a friend recently who actually reached out to me, and he, you know, again, it was a situation where they were on the verge of giving up, and you know, they said to me, Sophie, you have no idea what your presence and just being able to speak to you and you listening to what I have to say has helped me to do and to get over. And to me, I didn't think that I was doing anything, you know, anything special. But by sitting down and listening to somebody can be a massive thing, you know. So it's really important that we all listen. I say this to the world, kindness. We forget to be kind sometimes, Pav. And there's a lot of negativity out there in the world. And unless we ourselves help ourselves to, you know, to make a difference to other people's lives and to our own, we're never going to move forward. And I'm an advocate for that. I just think, you know, it doesn't cost anybody anything to be kind. Just be kind to people. Listen, if somebody needs a helping hand, help them. That's it, really.
But going
back to a couple of things, Pav, I mean, what do you think, you know, some of the practical strategies, for example, for individuals, what can they implement? What do you think they can implement to promote their mental health, you know, well-being on a daily basis? What do you think they should do?
I think being active is probably top of the list. I think since COVID as well, I think a lot of people tend to work at home now. Yeah, people are working at home a lot. I think being active is massive, even if it's just going out for a walk. You know, don't be stuck in, you know, your house all day. Or if you're working in your office 9 to 5 hours, you're doing lunchtime, go for a walk. Be active. I think socializing. I think everyone should be socializing at least. I think, you know, if you're around people, good, positive people, who feed off good energy, I believe that's, you know, important. I think starting your day with gratitude, every single day, let's be grateful. Mm-hmm. You know, remember how blessed we are, you know, to be alive. We get to breathe, mm-hmm. walk, you know, talk. We have vision, mm-hmm. clean water, food to eat. You know, we're able to sleep, we're able to wake up. And I always think like that, and I think we are blessed to be able to do those things. There's people out there who are unable to do those things.
Pat, we have a caller who wants to come on and ask a question. Hello, caller.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hear you. Hello. Who am I speaking to?
This is Regine. I'm a transplant from New York to Virginia. Actually, from Munich, Germany.
Welcome to the show.
Nice,
you know,
nice to meet you.
To have you here.
Thank you. You know, this subject on mental health is so critical today. All you have to do is look at all the mass shootings and these young kids, and we could debate until the cows come home, you know, why these young kids are doing that. I have a couple of theories on that. But my question for you, because I'm a Christian. I'm very involved in my church, and we're actually called a rescue church because we rescue people. You know, we're not like these mega churches. We go in and we help people.
I love it.
This happens to be a family member, so I'm a little sensitive about this. But when you see somebody that obviously has some mental issues, I don't want to call them issues because, you know, because I wear glasses, that's not an issue. And I think, you know, mental health is just like needing to go to the dentist, needing to go to the eye doctor. You know, it's all about taking care of yourself. But how do you get to the point of getting this person to realize that they need help and you're able to provide? I'll just lay it out there. It's my son who's been very avid in sports. He played football, and then he played ice hockey. And a brilliant, brilliant kid. He's just absolutely amazing. He went to NJIT in New Jersey. But his father and I have these problems with him, getting him to, like, he goes through these states of depression, and he has talked about suicide a couple of times. And I started to realize that that was probably a way to get money from mom or dad. because his dad is wealthy, and and pretty much provides for him. But he wanted him to do this imaging of the brain to see if, because he's had a couple of concussions in hockey, in ice hockey, and a couple in football, to rule that out, to make sure. And that's an expensive thing to go through.
Yeah.
We can't get him to go to this appointment. He had talked to therapists, like, during COVID. It was a very depressing time for him because he's very social and he's very out there. He got into smoking pot and he was dating, you know, I love Russians, but he was dating a Russian and they love to drink and he started drinking. And I don't know if all of this has had an impact on how he feels in his brain, but he can't get unstuck from where he is. And I kind of understand what he's going through because about 10 years ago, I had an issue with my thyroid. And, you know, your thyroid controls your whole body, how you feel, how you think.
Absolutely.
You know, your body temperature.
Yeah, it does.
And it took a friend to fly up here from Boca to New Jersey to knock on my front door to say, we're going to the doctor because you staying in bed all day is not like you. Because I used to be a career executive. And after I got laid off, I just, and I think that was the same time the thyroid. So I kind of understand when you are going through that fog, because it wasn't until I got through that, I can look back now, and because I journal, I can look back and say, wow, was I really in that mental state? And I don't know how to help my son. I don't know how to get him to this point. We make appointments to go online, to go to the portal, to set up the meeting, but because he's been to so many psychologist and what he's like, you know, I'm going to get a lot of blah, 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 and I don't want that.
How old is your
and
son?
I know I've said a lot there. I've unpacked a lot.
Let's see if we can answer some of the questions there, but I think we get a bit of an idea of what you're talking about. And listen, our thoughts are with you, you know, and we'll certainly see what we can do here. And Pav definitely, you know, is somebody that could. Pav, I messaged you as well, and I think it's something that we could potentially try and sort of help and support. But Pav, do you want to answer?
I know
you've dealt with these things before.
I would love to help. I think it sounds like he's been through a tough time. How old is your son, by the way? Do you mind saying?
He's been a career he's 28 now, and he was in college.
He's young.
He's still young. He can still do something about this. He can get through this. He can. I think surrounding yourself with the right people, it sounds like he isn't surrounding himself with the right people, from what you're telling us as well. I think he's
kind
getting
of a loner now because he moved from New York to Cincinnati. And his dad put him up in a condo there. He's kind of, you know, he meets people, but he went through a hard break of a relationship about a year ago. And it was because he lied to her. He's that smooth.
Okay.
He's that smooth. And it was the love of his life. They had a lot in common, and she couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
So she ended it. And he's an extremely good-looking guy. So, and not to say she's the opposite, but she wasn't quite what I expected him to be with. But he loves her.
Yeah.
But
Well, listen, duty is skin deep at the end of the day, isn't it? So, you know, when the heart beats, it beats for somebody.
Right,
and,
that's true.
You know, with him, at the end of the day, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. We can't sort of really comment on that. But I think from if I can just give my opinion, and I'm not a professional like Pav, however, my opinion is that I think he's lost focus. I think he needs to focus on something in particular. And especially with dealing with people personally that I've helped, the focus on something that interests him, something that will sort of light the fire again for him. Probably something.
Want to know what we did?
What did you do?
He loves vintage cars. And his dad and him have been going out purchasing them and reselling them. But when he gets into this manic stage of being mad, there is nothing you can say to him. Nothing.
Is he physically, does he train? Does he, you know, I think Pavel probably asked the same questions, but does he train?
He's got a body of a hockey player. Oh, yeah. He's like 200 pounds and he's 6'4". He's solid.
I'd love to speak to him. If you can get your son to drop me a DM on my Instagram, Pav Sava, I will take time out of my day. I will speak to your son. I will communicate with your son, and I will. I'd love to help. I really would. I think sounds like he's been through a lot. I feel like he might just need someone. I'm a little bit older than him, but not too much. You know, on the same, you know, both like our gym, both like our cars. I think maybe speaking to someone on the same sort of level might help. I think he's just a little bit lost.
With the right guidance.
He has a business finding investors for homes that people are selling. And he'll just go out to the golf course and chat it up with his dad's friends and make a sale, and then he'll sit on it for like 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
How often do you all see him?
Because I'm in Virginia, I haven't seen him in about 6 months.
Yeah.
His dad sees him almost every – his dad has businesses in Cincinnati that he wanted to put him in charge of. But because of the way he thinks and the way he goes off sometimes, it just – he feels like his dad wasn't there for him when he was growing up, which is so far from the truth. He's in denial. I was told at one time when he was a youngster that he had ADHD and ODD, oppositional defiance deficiency, where you'll say the sky is blue, and he's like, nope, Mom, it's yellow today. And we're like – and he'll try to convince you that it's yellow.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a really good salesman.
Okay.
I think what's happening as well, I think he needs to want the help. He needs to, you know, pushing him too much, trying to get him to go and speak to this person, that person. Sometimes I don't think is the way. I think he might need his mom. I think he might need his mom and dad. It sounds like his dad's there from a very
We've
much business point of view
in,
as well now.
And it makes things worse.
Yeah.
It makes things worse. It's one of the biggest challenges I've ever been through because this kid is brilliant. Anybody that meets him is like, wow,
He sounds like he's got a good support network about, you know, around him. In the sense, I'm talking about yourself and his dad and maybe some family. But I think, Pav, maybe, you know, if we can get your details after Regine, if it's all right with you, we'll take your details. I'll make sure that Pav gets that. And then hopefully, Pav, if you can potentially reach out. I think if he checks Pav out on Facebook and Instagram and sees what he's done, you know, they're very similar from what you say in the sense of, you know, from a sporting background. Pav also, and he's very, very humble, bless him, but he's also, Pav, you were national champion as well, weren't you? British champion.
It was more a bodybuilding sector, though. It was a muscle model category.
Carry on, Pav.
Sporting background, but I can relate to your son because, you know, I think I've been through some, you know, tough times with family stuff as well, and you know, you have my word for this show. I will drop you some DM. I promise. I'll drop him a message. I'll speak to him. You know, and let's see where we can take.
I don't have the technical name for this, but this imaging that they want to do of his brain, I guess it's a brain scan. Are those good to do?
See, you've got nothing to lose.
Now, one thing I can't do, Regine, is comment on anything, you know, medical, because we're
like
not doctors
that.
Or anything of that nature. So, I mean, we can give you our opinion on how we work and you know, what we think and go from our own experiences. But anything when it comes to, you know, the medical aspect of things, I wouldn't feel comfortable to say to you, you know, you know, yes, go ahead, or no, don't.
Anything that may have happened when he played sports, particularly ice hockey, because he's a big kid.
Yeah. Yes. And I think you'll have, I tell you what we'll do. I mean, to sort of like try and wrap this up and sort of help in whichever way we can. I mean, Pav certainly has the ability and the know-how when it comes to, you know, from a physical training and mental health and well-being and sort of helping him. If he's willing, if your son is willing to even just have a conversation and listen, it would be the best thing that he does. Because and I felt he'll probably make an amazing friend, Pav. Pav is probably one of the most, and I'm talking as somebody who knows him and has seen him grow up, the most empathetic individual that I know. He's a big, gentle giant. When you see his picture, Regine, check him out on social media, please. You'll understand that this man is the original Greek god. That's all I will say. So he is a British birthday, and his heart is definitely there. And whatever he can do from a professional perspective, he will certainly help on that. But like I said, from a medical advice perspective, it's not something that we can actually sort of give you any advice on. You know,
well, I know
neither me or Pav from that perspective.
He's researched it really well, because he really wanted the best in the country if he was going to do the imaging. So I know his dad is willing to financially do anything that he needs to do to get this done. I mean, we love our son. He's our only child, and we just want to make the...
Regine, you will, everybody, I'm a mother. You know, Pav is going to be a daddy very, very soon. I think, you know, we all know that, you know, we will all do anything for our children. Of course we would. You know, it's a natural thing. It's what parents do. And when our children are hurting, Regine, we hurt. We know that.
Oh,
you know, you know, we want to take that away. But I think we have to think very logically and very, sometimes just very openly about circumstances, because what we have to do is understand why he's feeling this way. Pav, surely we need to find out why he's feeling this way, because maybe he's not feeling that he can talk to somebody about it. It's down to him, in the sense that, you know, it's getting to the bottom of what he needs and what he needs to get off his chest. It could be something very simple. It may not be a medical thing. It could be something that is a very simple solution, but it's knowing that. And I think a conversation, a really open, frank and transparent conversation with Pav, if he feels comfortable.
What's great is, you know, that they want to sort this out. They want to do something about it, though. So, like, it's not like this amazing mother who's rang up right now doesn't know anything. She knows everything about her son, which is amazing. And I think with the right help, I think, you know, we can definitely help him 100%.
Okay.
He actually has
guys,
the best parts of his
Regine,
mom and dad, so it's hard for us to
Regine,
talk to him.
Can I just interrupt you? I'm sorry to interrupt. We're going to take a very, very quick break. Okay, stay on the line, please, because we also have we have another caller that we will bring in. But everybody, you're listening to the Ask Sophia show. Thank you for being here. We'll be back in a few seconds.
You're listening to The Quiet Storm with your host, Greg Lassiter, here on G Radio, New York.
Hi, everybody. I think we just had a bit of a technical issue there, but hey-ho. Are we back on? Can everybody hear me again now?
I can hear you.
Hi.
Perfect. Hello. We have another caller. Who am I speaking to?
Hi. Good evening. This is Ankh calling.
Your name again, sorry?
A-N-K-H.
Hello, Ankh. How are you? Welcome to the Ask the Seer show.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you for your time. I'd like to ask you, I'm here in New York City with you as well, and how do you maintain, or what are the methods you use to maintain your sanity and humanity in this frantic, busy city of ours?
Listen, I personally also have come obviously from the UK, and you know that London is as busy as New York. And when it comes to, can I just say I've just come back from New York? I'm in the UK at this moment in time. However, New York is a delight. I think it is one of the most multicultural and amazing cities on this planet. It's one of my favorite cities in the world. But I think there is so much going on in the world at this moment in time. You do need to keep ahead of things when it comes to, you know, fitness and keeping your health, you know, and your mind healthy. And I believe very much so that reading is a big thing for me. I read a lot. I read quite quite substantially, and I think that helped. I like to take a lot of knowledge. I like to. I'm a bit of a sponge when it comes to things like that. But I also meditate. That's a massive thing for me. It's a huge area that I do daily. I meditate, and I actually make sure that I ground myself on a daily basis. So that's what I, that's how I sort of, handle my mental health personally. But reading, meditating, and eating healthily. Ankh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
What
are you struggling with, sir? What do you find that is your biggest challenge on a daily basis?
Just the busyness, the franticness of the city is a lot of the anger and aggression from a lot of people that's just moving through the city is sometimes challenging to deal with.
Are you making time for yourself as well outside of your work life?
Not as much as I should.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy doing? Do you mind me asking? What hobbies do you have?
I also enjoy reading. I don't sit down physically to read as many books as I used to, but I listen to a lot of audiobooks now, and I find that helps me out a lot.
Amazing.
I enjoy music and movies. I walk. I was a lot more physically active prior to last summer when I hurt my back. So I'm slowly getting back into my physical regimen, and that's helping me to feel better.
Yeah. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
And are you finding things a little bit difficult at this moment in time, or are you sort of are you coming out of whereabouts are you personally? Where do you feel that you are at this moment in time?
In what regards?
In your own, physical and mental health in your area at this moment. I've just started using me as an example again. I've recently, like I said, had a really tough time, and I'm again through all the practices that I've been, and Pav also helped me with with this as well. started to move myself into, you know, doing the things that, you know, I need to do to try and get me back into where I need to be. I'm just saying, you know, where are you at this moment in time? Are you finding things that are getting on top of you, or are you finding that you are feeling better about things with whatever you may, you know, you have going on, you know, from a business perspective or personal perspective? Whereabouts are you in your journey at this moment in time?
That's a good word, journey. It's a process, and let's say if I had to put it on a scale, I probably would put it maybe about 6 to 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's say out of a 10.
Okay.
So physically, I'm okay. I'm hopeful. I'm confident. You know, my body does, you know, for the most part, everything that I wanted to do. Work is good. I could use more money in my life to do some projects. You know, family is, I have two young children that I spend a lot of time with.
Amazing. Beautiful.
So it's I'm not bad, but I want more.
there's room. Let's put it this way: there's always room for improvement, isn't there? In everything that we do. So I can relate to that. And I think, you know, you'll probably agree, we have so much stress that is thrown into our daily lives. Sometimes we forget to look after ourselves because we are either focusing on our children, for example, or, you know, on our partners or on our work or whatever it may be. And sometimes I've been told on many occasions, slow down, think. And I think this is why I read a lot, but I also read a lot of self-help books, and I also listen to a lot of affirmations, and I think affirmations are a really big thing that helps me to build my my confidence back up, because there's times where you just wake up in the morning. And I can only use myself as an example. I wake up in the morning and I think, I don't want to tackle what I've got to do. And that's how I'd felt for a long time through these difficult times. But listening to, you know, meditation and things like this really put my mental state in a different area. And I think, you know, you talk about the financial side of things. Oh, my God, that is the biggest stress of all. When people are, you know, financially, you know, stressing over money and things like that, I think it's one of the biggest issues that we have when it comes to mental health as well. So go ahead, Pat. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No. Everyone's mental energy is so important, and I always relate to this, like, you know, imagine your mobile phone, you charge overnight, you wake up, you've got a fully charged battery. By the end of the day, you're going to be on a bit more, well, pretty much low percent, right? So I always think of your mental energy in the same manner. By the end of the day, your battery is low, okay? So why on earth do we, you know, We all stress and worry about things that most of the time never actually happens. You know, I always say, you know, if what you're worrying about and stressing about right now, if it's going to matter in 5 years' time, then okay, I understand. You're going to keep doing what you're doing. But if it's not, if the answer is no, I give myself 5 minutes to fret a little bit, and then I move on. I think what in this world we live in right now, I think we're stressing and worrying about things that genuinely won't always matter long term.
I agree. And I think it's also, I think, like you say, Pav, it's a situation where we shouldn't stress over things that we can't necessarily control. You know, focus on the things you can control and don't stress over the things that you can't control. You know, and I think that makes it, very black and white. But let me ask a question. I mean, do you think that depression has been, depression and anxiety and things like this, has been worse post-pandemic, or do you think it's the same? What are your opinions on that?
You said, is depression worse before pandemic or after?
Do you think that depression has been worse post pandemic, or before or after? What do you think is what would your opinion be on that?
In my life, or society?
Yeah,
wise?
I mean, I think in both, and I think it's in your life. For example, you're one of our listeners, and I think we all have a story to tell. So it would be interesting to see what your opinion is on that.
I would say post-pandemic, it increased.
Okay.
After the onset of the pandemic, I would say yes.
The facts are, it did actually increase by 25% worldwide. In the first year post COVID, it did 25% increase depression, anxiety.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Regine, are you still there? Can you still hear?
No, she's gone.
Yes, I can.
Oh, she's there.
Hello. What are your opinions on this? How do you
on the
what would you
the
say?
Pandemic. Well, for me, it was a little different, and it's probably how I look at things. I was just laid off from my job, and sitting at home for 9 months was great because I had worked for 35 years straight. So for me, it was a time to rediscover myself. And that's what I spent my time doing, was literally like getting out on the track because there was nobody out there, doing my thing, getting active, getting back up on roller skates at the age of 64.
Well done. Well done. That's fantastic.
I saw other people around me handling it differently. And, we choose how we're going to feel every day, right? If you get up and say, oh, it's going to be a blue day, guess what? It's going to be a blue day. If you get up in the morning, this is just me, and I say, and I haven't always been like this. I've been through some stuff. But if I get up and I say, this is going to be the best day ever.
Yes.
I learned from, I can't remember the author of this book, and he was in the military. I think he was a general. And he said, if you feel like your day is challenged and you can't get nothing done, there's one thing you can do every morning and you can say, I did it, is fix your bed. So I never leave, well, having a German mother, I could never leave my bed undone anyway, but I learned that, from that, for me, it wasn't just fixing my bed; it was other things. If I can do these five things today, then I can look at today as being successful. And even if I only ticked off one of those things, I was still successful. So I just
amen to that. Fantastic.
How you look at that?
Yeah.
How you look at it?
Do you think
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Do you think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves? Do you actually think that we actually put a lot of pressure on ourselves?
We do.
To do.
And I think part of that is we allow
societal thing to impact how we feel. Light yep. example, may not be a good analogy, but I get in my car, I'm driving somewhere, somebody cuts me off, and I decide to get all upset.
Yeah.
Well, now you've allowed that to determine how you're going to feel the rest of the day, right? Because you're going to constantly yep. think about it. For yep. me, yeah. it's like, okay, maybe the Lord didn't want me to get to where I had to go to real fast. Maybe he put me out of what could have been a dangerous situation. Or maybe they had an mm-hmm. emergency and needed to get mm-hmm. somewhere. And yep. that took a hard lesson for me to learn that. But I think it's a lot of things around you. It's how you allow those things to impact you. You know, I'm not carrying anybody's garbage around in my head. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to claim it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'll walk away from situations like that. So,
yeah.
I haven't always, you know, I've had a couple of people say, a couple of my friends that are doctors in this area say, you know, Regine, you have a really healthy mind. It hasn't always been healthy, though. It hasn't always mm-hmm. been healthy, you know, the thyroid thing. And people can go through bouts of being, like, in this fog. But I saw a lot
yeah.
of, going back to the COVID thing, I saw a lot of seniors that were experiencing major depression.
Yeah.
I'm calling them seniors, and I'm a senior myself. Because I'd go to drop off stuff at their porch, food or whatever, and I would talk to them mm-hmm. through the door. And I realized mm-hmm. that, you know, just that little bit of conversation and niceness and love that I shared, it was helping seniors get through those dark moments.
Yes,
yeah.
absolutely. This is exactly what I was saying earlier, Regine, when I started the conversation. I think kindness and being able to help others in whichever way you can, just listening or talking to people, or it just makes a huge difference for people. You just don't know what somebody's going through at any point
right,
in
even
time.
When they're
and I make it. Yeah, yeah. I make it.
People are rushing, just give them that pass and say, you know, maybe they're having a bad day or whatever. I'm still going to be kind to them. At the end of the day,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not frustrated over it. That person was mad. You know, they were rude to me, whatever. Instead, I probably don't even think about it again. It's what we put in our brains that, you know, that self-talk that we do sometimes, that can be very detrimental. And for me, the
way
that I get out of that. I'm sorry?
Half you were saying?
I totally agree with everything you've said the last 3-4 minutes.
Yeah.
You are what you're thinking. I learned that a long time ago.
yeah. Well, it's
so
been,
if I think I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest.
Well, this is what I said, positive affirmations. I start my day
mm-hmm.
every day saying, you know, I will say the best affirmation that you can always say about to build your confidence, to build you, is I am. You know, I am.
Yes.
I am, you know, whatever it may be, I am successful, I am loved, I am whatever it may be. Just wake
mm-hmm.
up and have a list of things and look in the mirror and look directly in the mirror and tell yourself every day that you are successful, that you are happy, that you are loved, that you are listened to, that you are, you know, these are the biggest things for me. It's what helped me. This is what helped me through some really difficult times. The belief in yourself. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. We put a stigma, or when we were talking about stigmas, I think we talk about, you know, about mental health, making it out to be, you know, something that it really isn't. It can be something as simple as confidence. It can be something as simple
right.
as confidence that, you know, somebody has a lack of confidence in their abilities or a lack of confidence in their physical being or in their, you know, that can cause the mental, you know, stress on that. So when you change
right.
your mindset, you change your mindset and you change the way you think about yourself and the way that you, you know, you portray yourself and put out to the world is how things will change. So it is really
mm-hmm.
important that we take that on board. And Pab, I want to ask you a question actually. Regine, Harsh, please say where you are. But you know when we're talking about looking after ourselves, Pab, I presume
yeah.
that you know, I take it from this being the things that we eat, the things that we drink have a massive impact on our health and well-being. Am I right in saying that? Obviously,
you are right.
You deal with all of that.
Even if we just talk basic, you know, drinking water, you know, people don't drink enough water, you know. That can cause adverse effects long term. You know, we're constantly dehydrating, you know, our organs. You know, drink more water. You know, have your breakfast in the morning. I think people underestimate the power of, you know, clean eating. You know, eating nutritious foods. You know, and stop eating processed foods. You know, obviously exercise. You know, I'm not saying you have to go to the gym every single day. I'm not saying you have to even go to a gym. I'm saying be active.
Go for a 10-minute walk and things like that. That's what you're trying to say,
exactly.
Yeah?
I think be active, you know, and look after yourself. Because I do believe once you prioritize, you know, yourself like that, I'm a massive advocate that everything in your life will improve after as well. I've had people come to me with mental health issues, with physical, you know, they're overweight, they've got health problems, and they've come out the other side, and not only have they become better, their family life's become better, their relationships got better, they've got a promotion at work, just by changing, you know, habits within themselves. So, yeah, 100%.
Do you think that, and I'm going to ask this question to all of you, actually, but we'll do it one at a time. Pav, if you could sort of answer first. But do you think things like, you know, when people are struggling, and obviously when money is tight for people, sometimes it can be difficult. But do you think professional, you know, counselling and therapy, is that a, would you recommend that for people that are suffering to a certain extent, trying to get them to speak to somebody?
So I actually believe recently there's a lot more openness to therapy now, yeah? Whereas previously, I think a lot of people, right, watch these movies, they see someone lying on a couch talking about their problems, but there's a lot more to it. You know, it helps you understand your brain, you know, how it works, how it reacts, you know, and importantly, how it's been trained over the years. So I do believe so. I think people should. I think a lot more people are seeking help. I've actually got a friend of mine. I'm not going to obviously name drop, but, you know, he was struggling. He was having panic attacks, and he didn't know why, you know. And it turned out that, you know, losing his father the year before, losing his nan, a few relationship problems, and he was having these panic attacks, and he didn't even realize why they were happening. He then sought help, yeah? And one thing he said to me, and it stuck with me, he told me that his therapist said, you know, she can help anyone if they come to see her. However, the one thing she can't do is give people their time back they've lost through overthinking, worrying, anxiety, OCD, depression. You know, carrying this on for years when you can potentially be free of it or you can manage it. And I think, yes, I think speak to someone. You know, there is help out there. So, yes, I encourage it 100%.
And I think, can I just mention, and I'm sure it's exactly the same in the States as it is in the UK, the charity that I support, which is Kaleidoscope, is a mental health and wellbeing charity. They have... you know, they have the opportunities, or people can have the opportunity to go to a charity if they don't have the funds to be able to see a counsellor. You know, there are charities out there that are able to help and support these people. But I think it's just, you know, the individual plucking up the courage to be able to say, I need help. And I think sometimes we are too... ingrained, you know, mentally ingrained, that we can't ask for help. And I think, you know, because like you say, it's either a sign of weakness.
People worry about what other people will think. That's the truth. People worry what others think about them. You know, let's talk about social media. You know, people see people who think they've got a perfect life when in reality they probably haven't. Do you know what I mean? And I think, you know, I think social media has not helped, full stop. You know, if it wasn't for my business, that's kind of, you know, on social media, you know, I would definitely be taking a massive backseat from social media. I think people get too engrossed on it. I think people spend too much time scrolling. You know, I've been there before. I've been that person, you know. So I think that doesn't help also.
I think you're right. Ash, are you still there? Are you still on the call? Nope. I don't think. Nope. Regine, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, what do you think?
Well, there's been a stigma regarding mental health for years. And people always, I felt, always thought it was a bad thing to do. And I just liken it to what I said earlier. If you need glasses, you go to the eye doctor. You need to get your teeth fixed, you go to the dentist. If your brain needs a little tweaking, you need to work it, then you go see a professional. You know, I think it's very important. And like a lot of these kids that have been involved with these mass shootings, I researched a couple of them, and they had been on medication for whatever mental disability, usually it's ADD or ADHD. And now they age out of the system. See, here in America, once you age out of the system and you don't know where you can go to for, you know, you don't realize that there's something wrong because you just don't stop taking these psychotropic drugs. I mean, you have to continue to some point, but they don't go seek the medical attention. And then if their family's not that involved with them, or you know what the situation is with some of these kids. Some of them come from actually very wealthy families, but their parents were just never involved in their lives, and they just kind of been left to themselves. Here in America, it can be very difficult for the young and for the seniors to get mental health and get it paid. Like, they'll give them a limited amount of visits, and then that's it. They put you out. And, you know, they've gotten their money, and that's why our healthcare system here in America it needs to change. I've just been very blessed in, you know, through my pensions and so forth, that I have really good medical. But a lot of people young and a lot of people older don't have that option here, and there's nowhere that they can go. I mean, I see it on the streets here all the time. I'm constantly – I just moved to a beautiful new place, condo in a historical area here in Virginia. And, you know, when I go outside and just walk down to the store, there's a lot of homeless people here with mental disabilities. And, you know, they're just left to their own. And, you know, eventually they die on the street, or they end up in jail. And it's so sad because there's no other options. We don't place enough emphasis on that in Congress. And there really should be somebody, and not from the pharmaceutical industry, but somebody there lobbying to get these things done.
I agree.
I used to work in Congress
a few
worldwide
years ago.
Yeah,
this is a worldwide. This is a worldwide issue. This is not just an American issue. This is this is a worldwide issue. You know, we're tackling homelessness. In my opinion, I don't think there should be anybody in, you know, in the US or in the UK that, you know, we should be helping more. And I think it's a major area. Homelessness has been something that I have always supported. You know, I think I had a show where I talked about, you know, how, you know, it affects. And I remember, you know, circumstances for people. You know, one day you could be living the perfect life with, you know, husband, wife, or whatever it may be, with 2.2 children, and then the next day you could be out on the streets. you know, because your marriage has, failed or financially.
You just summed up my life in one sentence.
Yeah,
that was me.
Nobody knows.
That happened to me.
Yeah. Nobody knows. I had before Christmas, and I'll bring the story up again because it touched my heart more than you can imagine. And I remember I was shopping with my little girl. We were out shopping for Christmas, and it was we were looking for Christmas presents and things like this. And there was a young boy that was sitting on the street, and he couldn't have been any older than, I can't remember now. I think he said he was about 16 or 17 years of age. And I recall I don't know what it is, but I, even if it's not money, if I don't have cash, I'll always try and help anybody that is homeless, because it could happen to anybody. And I will either go and buy food, or I will do something and take back. It's just my way of giving back and doing whatever I can. However, I remember sitting down with this young lad because he was shivering. He was absolutely, and I can't see a young boy, and it was cold. And I went, this was in Cannock Path, and I sat down with him, and I just said to him, what happened? And he told me his story. His mother was a drug addict, and they were in an apartment, and obviously his mother had taken an overdose the week prior, passed away, and he'd been kicked out. He had nowhere, no family, nothing at all. And I remember thinking, my heart melted, because my son was virtually the same age as him. My son is nearly 17 years of age. And I just thought, oh, my God, if we turn things around, this is where I talk about empathy. This is where I talk about helping, being kind to people. And I actually helped him financially in that time. And I didn't have much at that point in time to be able to give. But, I couldn't see this young boy on the street at Christmas. He didn't have any family at all. And I remember seeing him the week after. I'm not going to go into the whole internet. However, I remember seeing him after Christmas. It was after New Year. And he remembered who I was. And he came and thanked me for what I'd helped him with at that point in time. And even the fact that I'd taken the time to talk to him was a massive thing for him. So, if I can give any advice to anybody out there listening, and I know that we've got a huge following tonight, and I just want to thank you all, everybody that's, listening to this show this evening. I hope that we are able to help you, but thank you. Just please, be kind. Just be nice. And, if you see somebody that needs help, just help, however little or however large it is.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's my message to everybody.
Yeah.
And I know you've done the same path. I know you've got a heart as big as anything, and I know you've helped many, many people in your time.
Just like yourself, just like my mom, similar, very similar.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's been instilled just to give you all your, all our listeners, just to give you an idea. Me and Tav, and we are from a Greek background, and Greeks are very, how can I put it? There is a word that is used in Greek, which is philodimo, there's no other country that has the same meaning, which is to welcome and to I don't know how to explain it really, but to welcome everybody. It doesn't matter what race, creed, doesn't matter where your background is, what you are. You welcome people into your home. You feed them, you help them, you do that. So this has been instilled in us as a family, and we instill this into our into our children as well. Just be kind, for goodness sake. You don't know what impact that is going to have on other people. So it's really important that we do that. But we've had an amazing show so far. We've got probably about 15-16 minutes available still for us to discuss some other sort of topics that I want to cover as well. But I just want to thank you, Regine, for taking the time out to actually call the show, and I hope that we've been able to help. But if you can actually, you know, contact Pav or myself on Facebook, if you've got Facebook, Regine, make contact,
yes,
and
you.
Then we'll obviously get in. And yeah, and I want to thank Anchor as well for joining us and for calling in as well. And I hope that we've been able to help from that perspective.
I think
but,
just
yeah,
talking
please get in
as
touch
well.
And we'll see what we can do.
I think talking out loud, you know, it helps. I think, you know, even if you can't get to the bottom of something straight away, I think it does help when you talk about something. You can, like, get it out a bit more. It's, you know, it's nice.
Absolutely. On another note, guys, and I just want to end things, and I just want to sort of let you all know. I don't know whether you're aware, but I've been really fortunate to be working with one of my, you know, amazing partners and producers of this show, actually. And we have actually, and I've co-authored a book called Emma's European Vacation. European Adventure, and we are in the process of putting it all together, and people can actually pre-order. Please get in touch. My producer Greg Lassiter and I are absolutely delighted with everything that's going on. I want to shout out to my business partner here in the UK, Mr. Grant Stain, and Sabrina, who is our illustrator, Sabrina Stain, who is doing a phenomenal job at the moment. The book is due out. We're hoping it will be out by the end of July. Not hoping. It will be out by the end of July.
Are we able to pre-order, Sophie?
Say that again, Pav?
Are we able to pre-order? Where do we pre-order it from?
Absolutely. Well, you need to pre-order, son. You've got a baby
a
on the way. They're going to need Emma's European Adventures.
Exactly.
Yeah, the book is $24.99 in dollars. So it's
yep.
being done in dollars. It can be distributed anywhere in the world. Pav, I want you to get it out to your network for us as well. But I want to thank all of the institutions and the people that have already pre-ordered our book, because just to let you know, it is an educational book which ties in with the mental health aspect of things for children as well, because we're really keen to make the book an interactive book that helps children to engage more. So it's not just paper in a book where people will, you know, where they will read. This book is going to be interactive. It's going to have QR codes where they'll be able to scan with their phone, Pav, Regine, where they'll be able to look at, we're talking about a European destination, they can see videos and they'll be able to see pictures and lots of different things. They'll see Emma, myself and Greg, all the travelling. It's an amazing opportunity, and schools will be able to utilise it, and teachers will be able to utilise the book to actually build lessons around, Emma's European Adventures. And we've got so many other projects that we're working on with this, that we're really going to make a huge impact, hopefully, worldwide. It's going to be translated into, obviously, we have English, we have Chinese, Mandarin, we have Spanish, French, and potentially we are looking at Greek as well. So there is a whole load of opportunities. We're looking at, getting this out to as many countries around the world. So this is ideal for teachers, schools, and children. Yeah, it's going to be done in Braille. We're going to do it in, also, it's going to be a touch book, so it will be a great book for children that have, autism, where they like textural and interaction. It really is, and it's going to be groundbreaking, and we're really excited about doing this. And people are already very excited. We've got, I think if I am correct, we've got over 20,000 books that are pre-ordered already, which is phenomenal,
wow.
You know, for schools nice. And things like this, you know, worldwide. So we are absolutely delighted to be, you know, working on such an amazing project. And it's been a delight for me to be able to write, write the story. And it's exciting for everybody to see. So order it today. We can put a link for people to order. But if you go to www.emmasfabulousadventures.com, that is Emma's website, and there is a link there where you can actually click onto it and you can actually order your book. So I just needed to get that out there because it's one of our amazing projects. And again, can I just say, proceeds of the book will be given to two charities that we're working with. My charity, which is Kaleidoscope,
amazing.
You know, we're going to be giving to the Kaleidoscope charity, and Greg will be working with a charity in the US that works with children who are struggling, or, you know, illiteracy, let's put it this way. It's really important for us to make a difference. So whatever we make, we're going to give back to the communities as well. So it's really, really, really important that everybody helps and supports us, because we're going to help and support others as well through it. So I just want to say a huge
awesome.
Thank you.
I'm also going to post this on my Facebook.
Thank you.
I know you've got
a great following as well, Pav, and I'd be really grateful if you would happily sort of, you know, promote that for us, because I think,
yep.
You know, we want to make a difference. This is not about everything else. This is about how we can empower children, how we can empower and help, you know, in different aspects. So autism, the book is also going to be done in Braille as well. So we're trying to do everything. We want to change the way people utilize books. So we're really, really excited about, you know, doing that. But Regine, if you look on Greg's post, I think he's got a link on his Facebook page, and I think it's pinned at the top of his page. But I know you're friends with
yes.
Greg, but please, you know, feel free to do
that.
Putting
in Greg here that you guys could really cover the United States. Going into one studio in New York and doing an interview.
Yeah.
We have to talk about that.
Yeah.
My background is national radio.
Wow.
That's what
I did
for 35 years. So, we used to have a lot of publishers where we would do these national tours, which they would just go into one studio and then hook into different radio stations all across the country.
Greg already has some. Greg has his own studio. We have a studio in Midtown, so it's a brand new studio that we're.
This one would be at like the National Radio Network, and they just patch you into all of their affiliates.
Okay.
You could probably do it out of the studio too.
That's my producer. Listen, that's for my producer to deal with.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him about it. This would be. I could see schools ordering these books.
Yeah,
well, we have got some schools that are heavily involved in this, but we want to make sure that every state in the U.S. because we're going to be producing Emma's American Adventure. So every state that we are looking at will have a, have the books in their states where they can actually, you know, again, it'll be a great opportunity for people to, and children to know what's going on in their own, you know, in their own state.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going
question.
On, genuinely. It's exciting.
I have one question. Is
yeah.
Emma a dog?
Yes. Emma is a beautiful pit bull. Gorgeous, gorgeous little pit bull. She's our baby. Greg's dog. Yeah, it's Greg's
right.
dog.
She travels
with Greg. As you know, Greg is a Greg is an inspiration in himself, and I'm talking. He doesn't really like me talking about him too much. However, Greg is an inspiration in himself. He is the first African American in America to ever own a private jet company in the US, and has Emma travels all over the world with him in his jet. So she genuinely,
the pampered pup.
She genuinely does travel the world. So she has amazing adventures. And you know, Greg mentioned it to me, and I said, you know, it's something that I've always wanted to do, is to write a children's book and to work with and collaborate with Greg on this. And we co-wrote it together, and you know, it's phenomenal. It's really an amazing book, and it's such a heartwarming story that we made it happen in 2 months, literally. When we get together and when we get things done, we literally we move it. So it's a great opportunity for us all. But yeah, it's been an experience and a half, and I'm literally loving the journey at this moment in time. The journey is phenomenal, and I feel, and I state it here on radio, that I feel truly blessed to be in the position that I'm in. And like I said, between Greg and my business partner here in the UK, Mr. Grant Stain and Sabrina Stain, they are phenomenal. They're just the best team that we could ever dream of having. So it's a great thing. But listen, I'm just to let you know, my show will be on every week going forward, and we're looking at every Saturday at the same time, 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, EST, and we will shortly also be on iHeartRadio too. So it's really exciting. An exciting period of time for us, and I just want to thank everybody. Pav, I just want to thank you first and foremost for agreeing to come on the show for me today. You've been a complete and utter inspiration, and I'm sure you know, you are going to do some amazing things going forward.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for inspiring everyone, and yeah, can't wait to read your book to my little one.
Thank you, Pav. Regine, again, thank you for calling in, and thank you for giving us some insight into that. And whatever we can do to help, we certainly will. So please get in touch, and we'll certainly see what we can do with your son. Everybody.
But you throw your hands up like you no longer have the strength to fight. 'Cause you've seen too many sunsets, too many days ending in the darkest night. But on your own, you'll never know, you'll never know. If you believe you can move the highest mountain, cross the greatest ocean, walk across the water, the water. Believe you can move the highest mountain, cross the greatest ocean. All you need is faith, but it's almost like you lost your way. Took a few wrong turns, took a few breaks, falling behind now looking for grace. 'Cause you need someone to lift you up, yeah, make right of the things you've done. 'Cause on your own you'll never know, you'll never know.